This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is always my area of my dua. I've memorized it, but I always have to read it, and I'll have my first mistake here. So just so you know, I'm going to do this again, inshallah. Alright, bismillah. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي رب زدني علما آمين. Now, for all of you who did not understand what I just said in Arabic, I'm going to translate that for you in English, inshallah. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most magnificent, all praise is due to Allah, Lord of the universe. We praise Him, and we seek His help and His forgiveness, and we seek His protection from the accursed Satan. Whomever Allah guides will never be misguided, and whomever He allows to be misguided will never be guided. I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, who is one alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, his companions, and the righteous who follow them until the day of judgment. Ameen. Let's do that again. Ameen. Ameen. Alright. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Where's my tech person? My friend? My tech person? Oh, okay, well, inshallah, we just have a moment of technical difficulty, but we'll get this. What I would like everyone to do, inshallah, is to please move forward. Inshallah, nobody's going to bite you, nobody's going to hurt you. If you have any issues, you just let me know. So move up just a little bit. So this way, when the new people come, inshallah, they can sit, you know, have space in the back, and you guys can get the back, inshallah. There we go. Questions, I can also write it down and leave it until the end, and then inshallah answer theirs as well, because I believe the brothers are listening upstairs, because to me it's very important that the sisters and the brothers can do this, because we're all raising the children, right? It's not just one person's job, but it's important that we all benefit, inshallah. So these are the 6 points I'll be talking about this evening, inshallah. Number one, starting with the end in mind. Number two, becoming good examples. Three, giving them good friends. Four, giving them good role models. Five, teaching them about the world. And six, quality time. And I will discuss each one in a little bit more detail. So start with the end in mind. Massive dua. Now, when I say this, when I say start with the end in mind and make massive dua, how many of you guys in this room, and I like you to be very honest, because, you know, Allah's watching, the angels are writing your names down. Yeah, it's okay, there's no one here to judge anyone. I'd like to know how many of you guys in this room make dua a lot of dua. How many of you? Okay. The rest of us, we make dua, alhamdulillah, when we need something, right? When we want something, when we're afraid of something, when a disaster hits, right? This is just the normal thing, and this is how we are. But you know, in order to be successful, especially with our children, if we want righteous children. We want the best example. We want, it starts with wa. This is have the end in mind. So what I did back in the year of 2007, that's about what, how many years from now? Who can count? Who was born 2007? How old are you? 10, almost 11? Yeah, about 11 years ago. So what I did was I sat down and I made a list of what I wanted from my children when they were older. So my oldest at the time was 7 years old, and then I had Abubakar who had just turned 4, and Umar was 2, and that's all I had. I had 3 children at the time. And so I made a list. I went and I made a list. I said, what do I want from my kids? I was like, I want them to memorize the Quran. And I want you guys to know I didn't know how to read the Quran at that time. I was working on 2 doctorate degrees, but I did not know alif, ba, ba, ba. Yeah, I was like, what? What is all these letters? What does these dots mean? Why is this one circled? What's going on here? So this is where I was at. But the first thing I wrote on my list was I want my kids to memorize the Quran, inshallah. How many of you parents want your kids to memorize the Quran, inshallah? It's a goal. It's a lofty goal, right? Then I went on my list. I said, I want them to have the best tarbiya, akhlaq, and manners. How many of you guys want your kids, or you yourself, want them to have the best manners? You want them to be honest and truthful and to stand up against evil, right? This is just common sense, right? But I wrote this on my list. Then I went down to 3. I said, I want them to graduate high school early and start university right away. How many of you guys want them to start life a little earlier so they can be ahead of everything else? So I wrote this in my list. Then I wrote, it gets better. I made this crazy list. And I was like, I want them to write books. Yeah, I want them to become authors. I want them to be speakers. And I just was going on a rampage with my goals and dreams. How many of you guys have goals and dreams? Yeah. If you don't have them, start having them. That's what's going to save your life. Your goals and your dreams. So I made this whole list. Then I sat back and I looked at my list and I said, how am I going to do this? I'm not an educator. I have a master's in business administration. I'm a CEO, not a principal, not this or that, right? I don't even know how to read the Quran. I'm just about to start learning. How are my kids going to memorize it? I haven't written my first book. How are they going to write books? How are they going to become speakers? I was a speaker back then. Even back then, I did give lectures. It was just in different arena, different topics. But I sat there going, how is this going to happen? Have you ever thought that? Have you ever wanted a dream or a goal and you didn't know how it was going to happen? It was like, it was like the time when I gained 70 pounds and I said, I want to lose it again. And then I was like, how is this going to happen? Because I had never gone through it. So I was like, what do you mean I can't eat? What do you mean I only have to eat green stuff? Green stuff and water? Who lives like this? And I realized a lot of people do live like that. Just, minority, but they do live like that. That being said, so I sat there and did this. And because I was starting to practice Islam and I was getting, I was learning a lot about the deen, the dua became my number one thing. And I was reading books about the greatest people that lived. We're talking about the prophets of Allah, peace and blessing be upon them. We're talking about the Sahaba, we're talking about the Tabi. I was looking at all these amazing stories. And I said, that's who I want my kids to be like. I want them to be like one of the great moms in Shul. I want them to be this. I mean, we mothers, we love these dreams. I sat there and just like you guys, I had these dreams and these goals. And I had no idea how I was going to achieve them. So I started off with dua. And I said, Ya Allah, I have a bunch of dreams and goals. I have no idea how to achieve them. But for you, everything is easy. For you, it's nothing. I need your help. I need your guidance. I need you to show me that. And I remember the story of Imam Bukhari's mother. Let me see if I can. I'm sorry, I'm going to go back. And of course, I have to. Where is my technical person? There you go. Can you go back one slide again? So I remember the story. How many of you guys know the story of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, his mother? A few people. So I'll go over that story one more time. So here was this woman who, mashallah, barakallah, was a very righteous woman. This is a woman who, mashallah, prayed tahajjud, read Quran, was always giving charity, doing a lot of good deeds, She was on it and... She was on it and she had the son. His dad passed away, and she wanted this son to be dedicated to Allah, right? Now, that's a goal a lot of people have, but you know what ended up happening? Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, went blind. He went blind. Now, in today's age and society, we have a lot of technology for blind people. They can mush up, do a lot of good things. I have one of the brothers I know, he's in Canada, he's blinded. SubhanAllah, I feel like he does more than all the people who can see. That's how, like, SubhanAllah, poor they've gotten with technology. But back in the day, we didn't have this. So Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah, his mother would always make dua, wake up at, you know, salah in the middle of the night, tahajjud, pray, do everything. And she'd say, Ya Allah, I want him to teach your deen. I want him to become the best scholar. I want him to do this. But you know, I need you to give him his sight back. I need you to do this, Ya Rabbi. Because there's nothing she could do. This is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One evening, as she was sleeping, Ibrahim alayhi salam came in her dream. And Ibrahim alayhi salam said that your du'as have been heard and Allah has answered your du'a. She opened her eyes. As she opens her eyes, Imam Bukhari is running into her room. He's like, Ma, I can see again. I can see again. Now, if Allah can give the sight to someone bad, SubhanAllah, He can't help us. He can't give us. But one of our weakest points is we don't make enough du'as for our children. You know what we do? We make bad du'a. Yeah, you guys got to talk about when they get naughty and rude. We're like, may you go and perish. May you go and, like, we do this, unfortunately. We get very angry and upset. And our tongues, unfortunately, take the wrong path instead of the right path. And we need to change that. We need to change that. We need to redirect that. And we need to make du'a for our kids. We need to ask Allah to give them the best character and to help them with this and help them with that. We need to keep asking Him. Every salah and sujood, when you're fasting, when you're traveling, constantly make these du'as for your kids. Make it for yourself, make it for your spouse, for your family. But it should be constant, not just once in a while. This is massive. With du'a, anything is possible. I mean, you guys know the power of it. But yet, we're so busy, we don't do it. When you're cooking, when you're cleaning, when you're driving, whatever you're doing, make it. For all the young kids, let it be a habit for you. Let it be a habit for you. And I will tell you guys that you may not think it's possible, but SubhanAllah, it is. My kids have gotten into this habit, mashallah, because, you know, like they were saying earlier, I do homeschool. And I'm going to fast forward a little bit to tell you guys a little bit of my story before we continue. But this was 2007. I was like, what's her birthday? Coming back in 2007. Fast forward 6 years later. 6 years later, my daughter, mashallah, barakallah, graduated at the age of 13 from high school and started university. She was an author of 4 books at the time. She was an international speaker. She has her own website, Facebook. Now she's got Instagram, YouTube channel. She was on the news. She had memorized 4 juz of the Quran, and these things were falling into place. Why do I share that with you guys? Because I started off with a dream, with goals, right? Just like every other mom here. And then what the biggest difference is not giving up and moving forward and working hard and every day putting in that effort. So it started with dua, and there was something that was constant on your tongue, constant on your mind, constant on what you were doing, right? So next thing, the Prophet ﷺ said, verily a man teaching his child manners is better than giving one bushel of grain in alms. It's easier for us to give charity, isn't it, than to try to teach our kids manners? For all of you parents, raise your hand. I mean, how many times do we tell them, please don't do that. Please don't do that. Please put your shoes away. Please pick up your clothes. Please do this. Do we constantly, please, when you enter the house, say salam to everyone? Do we not say this? How many times? By the end of the day, we're like, please, Allah, please put it in their brains because it's not sitting in. And then everyone's like, why are you nagging? Why are you nagging? We get the nagging thing because we're a constant reminder, right? But honestly, our children are not listening to what we're saying. They're looking at what we're doing. They are not listening to what we're saying. They're looking at what we're doing.
So if we are those examples of parents that walk in and say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to everyone in the room, and we come and we say, oh, I'm going to pick up all the shoes, and we clean up, and we wash the dishes, we do it. They're watching us more than they're listening to us. They're watching us more than they're listening to us. So how many of you guys in here, how many of the kids have technology, access to their phone, iPad, what else do you guys have? Like games, you know, like, right? Everyone, pretty much everyone has access to that stuff? Wow, mashallah. You see, my kids don't have access to that. My oldest was 18 years old this year, and this year she got a phone. She's graduating with her bachelor's degree in Sharia. This year, you know why she got a phone? Because she got a job and she needs to be able to, you know, drive back and forth and make sure for safety reasons she got a phone, which, by the way, she pays the phone bill. Why am I going to pay for her phone bill? I don't use that phone. You want a phone, you gotta pay for the phone bill, right? I was like, as a matter of fact, you should pay for mine too. Because you got a job, mashallah. This is what happens. We get a job, alhamdulillah. You know, we walk up the ladder and we, like, you know, start remembering all the good deeds. So, why is that? Because technology is distracting. It's very distracting. How would my kids try to memorize the Quran or read thousands and thousands and thousands of books, mashallah, tabarakah, if they had that? You give them this, they're not going to come to this path. It's because this is fun, this is easy, this is time wasting. Why would they do this? Which is hard work and effort, it requires you to think and be creative. You have to think. This is common sense. So guess what? I have an iPad, no games. I have a phone, no games, no garbage. My kids see it. Like, you want to use my iPad? What are you going to use? I've got Microsoft Word, a few documents, you know. It's for important things only. That's it. Same thing with my phone. What are you going to do on my phone? I mean, the only thing that's is Instagram, which I go once a day to kind of, for my followers, you know, post something and that's it. But I say that is because we have to be the example as parents. If I'm going to tell them, don't do it, I'm going to tell my kids, don't play games, don't do this, don't do that, and then I'm off there while they're reading books and playing games, what, isn't that hypocrisy? That's wrong. You know, and nowadays we have, for all the brothers who are listening upstairs, and please don't be offended, but we have man boys. Man boys. What does that word mean? We have men who are coming home from work and they're playing video games like they're 5 and 6 and 7. Please don't be offended. I'm not raising man boys in my house, inshallah. That's not my. I don't want tomorrow, you know, my daughter-in-law to come to me and say, this is your work. You did this, right? They should be responsible young adults. But this requires us to put in our effort and our part. And that is tough. It's tough, right? That means, how much TV do we watch? How much time do we talk on that phone? How much time do we do things that we don't want them to do? Why are we doing it? We're telling our kids, don't lie. We're lying in front of them. We're telling our kids, don't backbite. We're backbiting in front of them. So we're giving them the wrong messages. That means we have to correct this person and so that they can follow that example, inshallah. And that's tough, which means you have to be aware of your own actions constantly. You cannot tell me, you tell your child, go pick up a book and read a book, stop wasting time. But you're on the phone, you're watching TV, you're on YouTube, but you want them to read a book? How come you're not reading a book? Yeah, what happened to that? It's for everyone. There's no such thing as I'm too old, I'm too busy, I'm too this, I'm too that. Whatever you want them to become an example of, you do it. And one of the things I did with my boys, like, Omar and Abu Bakr, mashallah, they're both memorizing the Quran, alhamdulillah, and they've got, inshallah, we're almost finished with Surah Nisa, we've got Surah Al-Imran and Baqarah to go, inshallah. And this is, mind you, I'm the HIFS teacher now, or I forgot to mention that. I learned how to read the Quran, mashallah, with the read, and then I came back, I became their HIFS teacher, alhamdulillah. But when they frustrate me, and they don't want to do it, and they get, like, kind of, you know, annoying, you know how kids are. I love you guys, but sometimes you test your parents, right? You guys know, all of you know. I tell them, I'm not teaching you no more. I'm not teaching you Quran. You can, I will take you to the sheikh, I will take you to anyone else, but I will not teach you. I will, and as a matter of fact, you know what? During that time that I'm teaching you, which is 5 to 6 hours a day, testing back and forth, I said, as a matter of fact, during that time when you guys go there, I'm going to be memorizing, inshallah, and I guarantee you, I'll probably beat you guys, inshallah. Right now, I can't memorize because I'm so busy helping you guys, being, you know, the best for you guys. But if I send you guys away, we're in competition. Let's do this. And you know what my boy said? We will not memorize the Quran with anyone else except you. Because they're in competition. They don't want me to memorize before them. They're like, no, this is not, this is like, you're not going to win this game. This is our game. We're going to win this one. But why is that? Because for the last 11 years, because you're 11, right? 11 years. Since I made that decision that this is what I wanted for my kids, every day, 5 days a week, regardless of me knowing it, I have a Quran teacher, I review, I check the tajweed, I'm constantly trying to better everything. And they see this every single day, 5 days a week, mashallah. I'm not telling them to do something I won't do. If you're telling your kids lose weight, you better be losing it too. You better be on your diet with them. Don't bring all the garbage in the house and then expect this poor little thing to just eat lettuce. It's not gonna work. It's just not fair, right? So everything that comes and when you think and you want, it's gonna start with you as a parent, being that example of role model, inshallah. Give them good friends. The Prophet ﷺ said, it is better to sit alone than in the company with the bad. And it is better to still sit with the good than alone. It is better to speak to a seeker of knowledge than to remain silent. But silence is better than idle words. Right now in the dunya, there is a limited number of good friends around the world. A limited number. And there's a lot of bad friends. You are the parents. You control whose home they go to. You control who they talk to. You control who's their friends. And you have that ability to help them make proper friends. You have to teach them how to do that. And if that is not available, then you better become their best friend. You better be the one that plays with them and goes out with them and takes them to the park and, you know, fulfills that, you know, desire that they have if you can't find them. A lot of times when I go to the masjid, I get asked that question by parents. Oh, you know, can like our kids play? And I'm like, no, our kids can't play. I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not being rude. I'm like, your kids have an Xbox and they play on that all day. If my kid comes to your house and they get addicted to that, they're going to only be coming for that. Where is the benefit of this? I'm actually losing out. I'm not benefiting. I'm losing out. So no, I'm a very honest person. But why do I say that? We are the ones that help them decide this. We are the ones. It doesn't mean they can't. You know, like we have neighbors, mashallah, they're not Muslim. They're a different faith. And my kids do go outside. They play, you know, ride bikes with them. They do. But a few minutes here and there, it's not like I'm spending the whole. But even that, they're playing outside. They're like either skateboarding or riding their bikes or they're playing with their, you know, tag, whatever. They're being active. And it's a few minutes and they get to do that. But if you're going to tell me a few hours, your kid has a phone, what can happen in that few hours? What can happen to my kid? What kind of image can my kid see? What kind of garbage can he or she learn in that little while? I'm very paranoid about that. It's going to happen when they're older, don't get me wrong. But until they're mature enough to understand, you have to have some boundaries and you have to try your best. Because I tell you, when I was in high school, I knew young girls whose parents were good people, mashallah, but these, we all went to public school, and this is why my kids don't go to public school. They go to public university now, that's a different thing, but they literally go to class, lab, and come back home, you know? But the reason why was because I saw young girls, having abortions, and mom and dad never finding out. I saw things that their parents would probably have heart attacks if they knew. This was the reality. Nobody wants to admit it. Nobody wants to say, that's my kid. But today we have drugs, we've got alcohol, we've got all of this stuff happening at a rate so fast, it's unbelievable. And if you think it's not going to happen to my kid, think again. It can happen to any one of our kids, unfortunately. So it comes down to help them pick good friends. Their friends should be at that level of, you know, helping them pray and helping them, you know, get closer to Allah, not farther from Allah. Which means if you can't find those kind of friends, then subhanAllah, you become that friend. If either one of you can't influence each other that way, then keep your distance. The way I think of a situation is when someone invites me over, I think, if I go to this house, can I benefit these people? Can I help them in any way? If I cannot help them, can they benefit me? Can they help me? Can they teach me anything? And if they can't, and I'm going to be there, and there's no benefit, it's going to end up in gossip, it's going to end up in backbiting, it's going to end up in a very, very bad day for me. All the good deeds I've earned for that day, plus some will go deleted for me, you know, plus a few more weeks to add, right? This is how my mentality is. So if I go into, and how many times have you guys been in a situation where you're very uncomfortable and that's not the environment you like to be in? You know what I end up in that kind of environment, what I end up doing? I go sit with the kids. And I say, who needs help with homework? Who needs this? Like I'm in that kids. Why? Because kids are at a different level, Swan. They're not going to back my thing. They're more like, let's have fun. You know, tell me a story. They're more interested in a different thing than a lot of other people. So you have to take yourself out of these situations. And you have to do the same. Thank you, my IT person. Sorry, I just kind of forgot. So you have to be able to do that. And you have to help them with this. I remember one of the chefs when I was, you know, just starting to homeschool this with my kids. One of the chefs said that. He said, my daughter doesn't have a lot of friends. But the friends she has, subhanAllah, like, it's just goodness with goodness. They, like, their competition with, oh, how many days are you going to fast this week? Oh, you're going to wake up for the hajj? Me too. I'm going to pray 8 rakat. How many are you going to pray? Like, it's a good, healthy competition, right? But it needs to be at that level, subhanAllah. Alright, bismillah. Alright, give them good role models. Good role models. You know, today, when I have lectures for the youth alone, I ask the question, who are your role models? This is and I get answers such as, Beyonce, Kanye, Jay-Z, Kardashians. I mean, it's across the board. And then I'm just like, what? And in the beginning, I was like, who's all these people? I was very out of the loop for a while. I was like, this is a weird name, subhanAllah. I had never heard of them because I wasn't in that environment. And then I started watching the news more often, and now I know all of them due to the news channel. Because they're always in the news for one thing or another, subhanAllah, right? Why am I saying that? If you don't give them good role models, they will pick up the role models that are being given to them and what their friends, you know, sit there and want to be like. I ask the question often, I say, you know, tell me some of the names of the messengers of Allah, peace and blessings be upon them. And people will name three or four. And I say, the 25 that are in the Quran, how many can name me the 25? And they're like, stop playing, stop this game. Mom, she's asking you a question. I'm like, no, it's not for your mom, it's for you. How will they know their role models if they've never read their story, they've never heard of them? And if they have, it's very little. But we just say, Ayub alayhi salam, we say, Yaqub alayhi salam, we say, Yusuf alayhi salam. But where's that connection to them? Their stories, what happened to them, what they went through, the trials and tribulations and what they learned from them, where's that? When we're saying raising resilient children, it's going to come from this. Because when we know their stories and what they've been through, subhanAllah, wallahi, we cannot complain about our issues. What we're going through is nothing. We're going to be like, oh my God, Mom, I think you could do an iPhone in 10. And they're like, oh, really? Is that a problem today? Is that our worries? What do they go through? Or if they get rejected, I mean, literally a few months ago, we had a young girl in my community commit suicide. She was 21 years old. This young girl came to a couple of my lectures prior to that. She was Pakistani, beautiful, smart, and everything. She was engaged, and her fiance walked away from the engagement. And she couldn't take that rejection and feeling dumped. So a'udhu billah, she committed suicide. If we are not committed, and this is on the rise, this is on the rise in the West. Our youth are, subhanAllah, I cannot tell you how many emails and messages I get regarding this topic. You open your eyes, you don't want to come home that day, like this mother did, and enter the room and see this. Wallahi, it shook her, and she couldn't understand it for the life of her. Like, why? But if we're not giving them the right books, and taking them to the right circle, and giving them the right knowledge, then subhanAllah, how are we building resilient children? How? When they have a difficulty that comes in their way, and it's hard, and they don't know how to handle it, they reflect back on these stories and connect and say, wait a second, subhanAllah, this is what Yusuf alayhi salam did. This is what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam did. This is what Musa alayhi salam did. This is what Yunus alayhi salam did. Wait a second, I can do this. And it's going to bring back that iman and bring them back, inshallah. This requires a lot of effort on our part as moms and dads. You know, giving birth is the easy part. It's raising a child that is very difficult. Very difficult. I mean, they will test us. Like this, that, this, this. And then when we figure we got them, they will find a new way to test us. And then when you get one, when you figure one out, the second one will come in. And then by the time you handle that one, it's the third one. And then the fourth one, and then that cycle continues. You know? I was telling my children, inshallah, you know, when they're all done with university and they get married, I said, I'm moving to New Zealand and changing my identity. And they said, why, mom? Don't you want to raise our kids? I said, I don't even want to see you guys. I'll call you on Skype and we're going to see each other. I'm not going to give you my phone number. I'll call you on Skype because you don't know where I'm at. You know, because it is tough. That's my break time. Until then, it's responsibility. And sometimes we want to run away from that responsibility because it's so hard. As moms, it's very difficult. So giving them good role models, inshallah. And this comes by storytelling. This comes by connecting them. There is games nowadays that the kids can play. There's a lot of alternatives. You cannot force Islam on anyone. Let me be very clear. You cannot force anyone to do anything. You have to learn to inspire, to motivate, and to help them grow. It's a different mentality. You see, when we were growing up, and we said, my dad would say, go pray, and you'd be like, okay. Then we'd go and be like, what are we saying? What's going on? We don't know what we're saying. The majority of us who are not Arabs, how many of you guys tell the truth? How many of you knew what you were saying? Nobody. We're like, we know Surah Fatiha, but we don't know the meaning. And if you don't know the meaning, how are you going to connect to Salah? You cannot connect to Salah without the meaning. So my kids have to memorize the meaning of Salah. And I test them on this all the time. Between Tahajjud and Fajr, I test them on the meaning of Salah, on surahs, or different things. Why? Because if they don't know what they're saying, then why would they enjoy praying? We can't enjoy Salah unless we connect to Allah. And this means we need to know what it means. So sorry. It's on the timer, huh? It's got a little brain here. Yeah. So that being said, we have to connect them. And in order to raise these resilient children, it's a connection to Allah at a different level. When you can learn to connect them, they're going to have a different outlook, inshallah. So teach them about the world. Don't teach your children to go with the flow. Don't teach them to live in this world with the way it is. Teach them how to make it better and how to be better as human beings. Teach them about the world. I homeschool. And people think because I homeschool, like I'm trying to seclude them from the world, I'm trying to shelter them. Oh no, subhanAllah. My kids know more about the world than most of these kids know. When my sons are memorizing Quran and they're reading the translation, they come and say, Mom, what is this? Mom, what is this? Mom, what is this? I don't say, stop, go away. I'll talk to you when you're older. No. You have to learn the appropriate way to explain to them what these things are and to teach them and to help them understand it. It's not going to be at obviously an educational level of an older person, but you still have to, they have to have some understanding to know, this is haram, this is haram, this is haram. Why? Why is it haram to drink alcohol? Well, son, well, this is what alcohol does to your body. You bring all the facts out. You explain it to them. Why is it haram to do this? Why is it haram to look at a girl? You know? Well, what did Allah say? The men, lower your gaze. There's reasons for that. You know? And my youngest one recently said, Mom, I don't want to get married. I said, okay, she's 7, mashallah. I said, okay, that's great. You can live with me, alhamdulillah, no problem. And she goes, don't you want to know why? I said, nah, it's okay. Because it was going to be a long conversation and I was very busy. So I tried to, you know. She goes, I'm going to tell you why. Bismillah. All right, here's my Quran. Let me pause it. Go ahead, tell me what your reasoning is. She goes, because when you get married, you have to have kids, and kids are a lot of work. And I looked at her, I said, yes, you don't say, huh? And she goes, and sometimes they don't even listen to you. I said, yes, those are the ones that are the most trouble, I say. She said, yes. So she goes, so why bother? I'm just going to live with you. I said, okay, inshallah, we'll talk when you're 18. We'll leave this conversation for now. But teach them about the world. Let them know, you know, about a year and a half ago, I give lots of lectures at the colleges and universities to the non-Muslims. And about a year and a half ago, I had my first transgender shahada. It was a person who had changed what they were to what they are. And this person started wearing hijab. They were like a spa. And I sat there and said, how Allah guides people and who He guides? Like, it is shocking to me. Allahu Akbar. And my children were very curious about this topic. They asked them, I explained the whole idea of what it is, why we don't do this, but if someone has done it, Allah is the most forgiving, it's up to Allah. It's who He's guiding. I'm not there to guide, I'm just there with the message. But you have to explain gays and lesbians, you have to explain all these things to our kids, why we don't do it, why it's wrong, and also why it exists, the tests and trials of Nuh alayhi salam. Our kids should know all of this. And you know a lot of times why we don't explain to them? Two reasons. Number one, we don't know enough knowledge. And number two, we're too tired. We're sitting there and going, I'm too busy, I'm tired, I don't have time. And so we just expect Sunday school or Saturday school to do it, or we expect the Islamic school to do it, we expect someone else to do it. But honestly, do not put this role on anyone else but yourself. I'm not going to say it's easy. And this is for the brothers as well. They come home, they're exhausted, they want to play video games or watch TV. That's right, what's that? Get rid of the TV, it's useless. It's really like garbage, plastic garbage. If you need to watch something, mashallah, there's a lot of other resources. You can do it on the line, on the internet, you know? Do things. I'm not saying don't have a different way of learning, but be very open to making sure that your house is clean. If you're going to let shaitan in all the time, then subhanAllah, how are you going to expect him to exit? I mean, know that our kids should know their duas. Going in and out of the bathroom, in and out of the house. We're putting on their clothes, taking off their clothes, before they eat, after they eat. These are all duas that 90% of our kids don't know. They don't know. I kid you not, when my kids enter the house, I'm like, I didn't hear you say your dua, get out. Enter with your right, say it again. But I said it, Mama, I didn't hear it. If I didn't hear, the angel didn't hear. And you know what that means? You brought shaitan into the house, and I have enough shaitans in this house. We don't need any more. Get out. It takes like 2 seconds. Do you think they're excited about getting out and coming in every time? I don't care. Out. Come back in. When we sit in the car, I turn on the car and say, everyone say your duas. I want to hear it. No, not silently. Say it out loud. I want to hear it. You know? Why? Because I want to make sure that this is built in here, that this becomes part of their natural. Before they're eating, stop eating, say your dua. When they're done, where are you going? Salam, say your dua. You're not thankful to Allah? That food just came to you from nowhere? It is a constant, but why am I saying that? It's because, subhanAllah, you have to, and then remind them about the world, about everything. Because when they see the world, and there's difficulties, they should be aware of it. They should know. They should know if someone calls you a terrorist, how to react to people calling you terrorists. How to react to people calling you names and bullying you and all that. What do you do? This year, Ramadan was a bit tough for my house because every year, mashallah, Ramadan, My boys do itikaf with their dad at the end, the last 10 nights. And I go to a really, really, really good masjid, mashallah, and so they're always excited. This year, they came back from itikaf, and I was like, oh, so my God, it's Eid, you know, I was all excited with my kids. And when my older son came in, he looked, he was like, yeah, alhamdulillah. I was like, how did it go? Did you make dua for me? He said, yeah. And I knew something was wrong. You know, you get that motherly instinct. And I said, what happened, Abu Bakr? And he said, I'm not going to the cough anymore. Now, mind you, mashallah, he let the taraweeh and for the boys only upstairs, they had a separate room, you know. And I said, what? What do you mean you're not going to go to the cough? What happened? You've been doing it the cough since you're like 9, mashallah. And he loves the masjid. He loves doing what's up. And he said, it's the worst people that come out this time of year. And they're amongst the Muslims who come to be at the cough. These boys that came there this year, mom, their dads and moms just throw them in the masjid and they think these kids are going to change. They come from like filthy, filthy places. And the language they use and the way they behave, the worst character. I would rather stay home than be around that. It's the house of Allah, but this is not my life. And as he said this, I started crying because this is not what I expected the cough to be, right? Life-changing, new dreams, new goals, new year, right? And I started crying and I said, what happened? And he's going to be very upset to know that I shared some of this. But I asked him what happened. And he told me he was with one of his friends and, you know, they were doing different stuff. And like sometimes they'll read books in the middle of the night. Sometimes they'll do ayats of the Quran. And another young boy came and Allahu a'lam, what was his problem? Only Allah knows what his issues were. And he's a teenager, and his dad, you know, just kind of threw him down. And he started cursing at him. So they got up and they moved to location. It's a big masjid. They sat in another place and they continued. And he went and followed them. And he's kind of taunting them, right? Now, mind you, mashallah, tabarakallah, Abu Bakr is a black belt in Taekwondo. He's not, you know, it's just someone who's afraid of anything, but he knew right from wrong. Taekwondo is not there to beat people up. It's there to protect yourself and help people when the situation comes. So he relocated again, and he goes sits there. And again, this time the kid is cursing in Arabic. So it was one thing that was in English. He starts using this. And so finally my son grabs him, puts him down, and he said, you better stop. He said, say, wallah, I'm not going to do this. Right now, you swear by Allah, you're not going to do this. He goes, you know, it's the month of Ramadan. What's wrong with you? What are you doing? And so, because it was a kind of tight hold, the guy made that promise. But a few minutes later, he continued with this behavior. And so, one night goes by. This is 10 nights, right? One night, two nights. By the third night, he went and complained to one of the volunteers. And he said, listen, and the volunteer said, what, you must be doing something wrong. It must be your fault. He was just like, I don't want to be in this environment. I didn't come here for this. I came to worship Allah. I came to do my salat. I came to do this. And this is the outcome. And so when he said this, this is the masjid we go for. We were like, oh, my friends are there. All my kids' friends are there. You know. And it was Eid the next day. I said, do you want to go to a different masjid for Eid salat? Yes. Khalas, it's done. And everyone's like, what about all of us? I don't really care about all of you right now. We're all going to go to a different masjid than we're going. I want my kids to be comfortable in the house of Allah. I want them to love the house of Allah. I want them to connect. They're going there for a bigger purpose. And so we went to the Eid Salah, and so the kids thought that was it. I changed my entire masjid to another faraway masjid that was also very good on taqwa and deen. Because of this son. And everyone else is like, I can't believe we did this. Because they all miss their friends and everything. And I was like, when we go to Allah's house, we have to be connected to Allah. And if one of us are at a disconnect and doesn't feel comfortable, then subhanAllah, we have a problem. So what I'm saying to you is, let them know, let them be aware, let them make decisions, but we have to also support our kids in these things. We have to be the parent who hears them when they come and complain and they cry. We have to understand them. We have to help them. Because literally, my son could have probably broken his arm, his leg, and done much worse damage than that to him. But he knew that that wasn't the right way. That's not the way of Islam. Sometimes we just have to readjust ourselves and move forward. This thing's on a timer, alhamdulillah. Huh? We should just sit here. Just kidding. Oh, it didn't work. Sorry. Just gonna get a lot of good deeds, inshallah. Make dua for everyone. May Allah give me just the firdaus of your mom and dad, siblings, ameen, ameen, ameen. All right, bismillah. So, give them quality time. Give them quality time. The greatest gift you can give someone is your time. Because when you dedicate your time, you're offering a part of your life that you will never get back. The greatest gift. My kids tell me this all the time. I'm the homeschool teacher that's with them 24-7. I take them to the university. I bring them back. You know, I do the cooking, the cleaning. I do Taekwondo with them. So I'm always with them, right? But they don't think that's quality time. No, no, no. The boys want boys' night. The girls want girls' night. They want family night. They want Monopoly night. I'm like, what do you think? I have nothing to do? And they say, I said, but I'm with you all the time. They said, no, no, you're not. You're teaching us. You're doing gifts with us. You're taking us to university. But that's not quality time. Quality time is when you sit down and we see the agony on your face when we play Monopoly because you hate this game because of time. That's quality time. We enjoy that. Now, for me to play Monopoly with my kids, they have to do like some amazing stuff. I'm like, oh, do you do this? I'll play Monopoly. Oh yeah, that's how I do. They're like, but that's really hard. I know. So do you want to do it or not? Because Monopoly is very hard for me. I hate it. But I'm going to do it for you. But you must do this. Like, you learn to compromise. But give them quality time. Sit with your daughters. Listen to them. Talk to them. Understand them. Connect with them. You know? Sometimes cry with them. Everyone is going through different stages. I have four kids with four different personalities. How many of you guys have kids with different personalities? Sometimes you think you got them, but you really don't. Because the moment you feel like you got that one, then they go through their teenage years. You think you just figured it out, and they're teenagers. Then you're like, what the heck just happened? was I like this to my parents? You know, you start thinking, and you're like, yeah, unfortunately, I must have done a few things here and there. That wasn't very kind, you know. But that time is enormous. They need our time. Sometimes when your kids are acting out, it's because they don't have enough time with you. And they want you to just listen to them. Just listen to them. They want to tell you. You know, I always tell my kids, no matter how bad of a sin you may have committed, no matter how bad it is, tell me. If you need my help, tell me. Whether that's drinking alcohol, whether that's doing drugs, whatever you've done, and you're in a situation, you call me. You call me. Why? Because at the end of the day, whatever I am, I'm their mom, right? I'm the one that wants to help them get out of that situation. So why is it that they're doing the wrong thing and going to other people? It hurts more. So be open with each other. Sit down, talk to them, tell them that. Let them open up to you. If they've smoked marijuana two or three times, astaghfirullah, yes, it's very bad. But they've come to you and you can help them before they get addicted to heroin and cocaine. And it's too late because they end up killing themselves. A'udhu billah. Where do you want to be? Open your minds to your kids. Know that they are going to commit their sins, astaghfirullah. We all do. And we all do. Unfortunately. Open your mind, have the communication doors open, constantly bring them back and help keep guiding them, inshallah. Trust in them, believe in them. You are their best supporters. If you keep telling your kids, you're so dumb, you can't do nothing, do you think they're going to do anything? They'll be like, you called me dumb, why should I do anything? You said I'm so dumb, you're right, so I'm not going to do anything. Or if you keep calling them this or that name callings, that's not quality time, okay? Don't consider that quality time. I'm going to sit with you for half an hour and give you a nasiha. That's not quality time. Quality time is playing with them, eating with them, listening to them, asking them to tell you their stories, whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not. But at least they're sharing and they're opening their minds to you. All right. Lastly, put your trust in Allah, Azawajal. The believers put their trust in Allah, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Say, nothing will happen to us except what Allah has decreed for us, He's our protector. And then Allah, let the believers put their trust. This is in Surah Toba, ayah number 51. Put your trust in Allah. If you've done everything you can, you've done your best, then subhanAllah, tawakkal on Allah. That's all you could do. That's all you could do. People always tell me, what if your kids, a'udhu billah, get misguided? I say, well, that's up to Allah. He wants to misguide them. That's not up to me. My job as a parent is to do my best and to teach them. If Allah decides later on to misguide them, there's nothing you or I can do. That's a test from Allah. Because Allah misguided Nuh alayhi salam's son. He misguided Nuh alayhi salam's wife and Lut alayhi salam's wife. If this can happen to the messengers of Allah, then who are you and me? Our only responsibility is to do our best. Our regret is going to be when we haven't done our best as parents. That's when we have regret. Then we think, I wish I would have taught them this. I wish I would have done this, right? How many of you guys can say that? You see, I don't go through these wishing phases. And I don't go through these regretful moments saying, why didn't I give them an iPhone? Yeah, those aren't regretful at all. I'm like, alhamdulillah, my kid didn't get a phone until 18. Yeah! And everyone's like, ooh, heck, are you the Stone Age? No. My son, literally, I think, was last week or the week before, he usually gets done with university at 10 p.m. and he's 15, mashallah, and he got done at 9 p.m. And so he said, Mom, I was waiting 1 hour for Dad, 1 hour. I said, well, yeah, Habibi. I said, you told me 10 p.m. He said, yeah, but my teacher let us out early. I said, well, why didn't you go to the library to call your dad on Skype? Skype. And he said, the library was closed. I said, well, why didn't you go to the computer lab? He said, the computer lab was closed too. And I said, so what did you end up doing? He said, what you told me to do? I was like, uh-huh. He goes, I said, hey, buddy, my dad's not here. Can you call my dad real quick? I don't have a phone. My mom doesn't give us one. And he said, okay. He called it and said, Dad, what are you doing? And he goes, and I spoke in my own language. I didn't even speak in English. He said, Dad, what are you doing? Can you like hurry up and come over and pick me up? I've been waiting for almost an hour. and his dad ends up going. And I said, so I told his dad, go a little early, sit in the parking lot, wait for him from now on, case he's done early. I said, that's my best wish. He goes, what do you think about just getting their flip phone? I said, No. Thanks for asking. Well, keep that in mind. So why am I saying that? Is we're the ones that control the environment for our kids. Our kids are not our masters. We're the parents. We should be able to control it. We should be able to explain it. We should be able to teach it and not think that they're controlling us. And a lot of times in the household, it's the kids that are the parents and the parents that become the kids. We shouldn't have that. Be the parent. And the reason why I don't feel guilty is because I've got to stay at home 24/7 homeschooling mom. I don't feel guilty at all. They're like, buy me this. I'm like, you don't need it. Like, what do you need? Is it for school, though? You want Nikes? MashaAllah. When you turn 18 and you get a job, I'm going to spend your paycheck on Nikes. Until then, I'm going to get you whatever I can afford. I don't care about name brands. I don't care about those things. And, you let them be responsible here. Teach your boys to clean up after themselves, to wash dishes, to clean up the house and cook. And teach your boys, sisters. Please don't raise man babies. It was man boy, not man babies. Sorry, brothers. No offense. Teach your boys. Don't make them dependent on mama for everything. It's important. They should be able to know how to make food and cook and do things on their own. And sometimes I'm like, Omar, you want to go make eggs for all of us? And he's like, do you want omelets again? And I'm like, no, whatever you want to make. I just don't want to cook because I'm testing Abu Bakr and I don't want to spend 30 minutes cooking, right? Omar goes and he makes scrambled eggs or medium, whatever. He just puts up the plates and everyone eats them. I teach them. Make the kids responsible. Give them responsibility besides homework. I know you guys think homework is a lot. Not just homework. Teach them responsibility. Teach them to help out and be with you guys and show them. All right, with that being said, I think I'm done. So inshallah, now you don't have to worry about this. If you guys have Q&A, I'm willing to take questions, inshallah. Yes?
When do you plan on getting your son for it?
Oh, when he's finished with his bachelor's degree in mechatronics engineering, inshallah, He's 18 and has his first job. He's got that phone, inshallah. And you know what it's going to be when we do it with my daughter? It's going to be my old one. Because their dad upgrades for free, and then he passes it to me, and then my old one goes to the next child. To make life easy. My daughter was like, she works for Apple now, mashallah, the 18-year-old. And she's like, Mom, oh yeah, before she got a job, she's like, I'm going to get this phone, and it's like 1100. She got a job, I was like, oh, when are you going to get that phone? She's like, oh no, I'm just going to use your old one. Now that you work, and you know how hard it is to work and to go every day, all of a sudden, her phone's went to iPhone 5 is good. I'll have it with iPhone 5. Because when you give them that their own response and they have to work for it, then they think twice. I'm like, when are you going to get all those Nike shoes? She goes, no. Remember they're on sale for $35 instead of $95? Things change. It changes. But that's what happens when you give them that responsibility, you know? Yes?
How do you have time management?
Oh. Beautiful. How do I homeschool and have time management? Very good. By the way, I do have books in the back over there. They do have a fee to it because I had kind of pays for all the other stuff that I have to do with the kids. But they are there, and I will do a book signing if anyone wants any of them. One of them is on the power of time management. Time management is key in your life. If you don't manage your time, you don't manage your life. You don't manage your time, you don't manage your life. You know, in order for me to be where I am and to do what I do is time is everything. Time. When somebody asks me, can I have your phone number? I'm like, no. I'm like, why not? Like, because I'll never probably answer the phone. Let's be honest. I don't. My phone is on vibrate. And then the only time I answer for my phone is for my mother and father. Only time. Everybody else, leave a message. I'll get back to you, inshallah. If it's important, I will get back sooner than later. But no, my sister like calling me, and she hasn't called me in 2 weeks, so we're like, you know, best friend. And I'm like, she really calling me when I'm texting Quran? Get out of here. Put the phone back down. Like, I'm calling when I get time. I'm in the middle of a HIMSS test. And we're like, that even like one student now, it takes like an hour to test because the students are so much longer. So really you have to learn to manage your time. You have to wake up early. And this is what the Prophet said. He said, for us, the barakah and the time is waking up early. Right? That's where our blessed hours are. You gotta wake up early, you gotta do your stuff. Next slide.
How do you raise confident kids that don't give up easy?
How do you raise confident kids who don't give up easy? First of all, you have to have confidence yourself. You have to be very confident in who you are and not be ashamed, embarrassed, or scared, or worried. Your confidence is something that your kids see. So if we're not confident in like being a Muslim, for example, I'm kind of nervous, you know, wearing my hijab, I'm kind of complaining and crying and sad, then my kids are gonna see that. But if I walk into the room and I'm like, you know, Abu Bakr and I went to an event and my kids were, I mean, every time before I leave for some lectures in the States, I say bye to all my kids. I mean, it's constant, I say bye anyways, but I hug them extra and I say, this event I'm going to, I've gotten some death threats. So I may not come back alive. So give mommy a big hug. Remember to make dua for me if something happens to me. Like, we go through that conversation, and my little one usually says, I don't want you to go, and I'm like, that's too bad. It's whatever Allah decrees, right? So you go, and then I tell whoever's with me, whatever child, I'm like, if something happens to me, you go and hide and run for your life, because we don't need to have two of us go at the same time, and you keep holding this banner of the deen and keep passing it on. And so, confidence is going to come, number one, from the parents. Number two, it's the more knowledge the kids have, the more understanding they have, the more achievements that they have achieved, they automatically have confidence. So when my 18-year-old went for a job interview this year, you know, with Apple, and they were doing this whole thing, you know, she walked in, and I was actually at, I think, Pakistan, doing lectures, subhanAllah, and she walks in, and I asked her later, I said, how did it go? I said, when you went, and the guy comes up, and he says, hey, hi, how are you? You know how they introduce themselves? I said, what did you do, Alia? And she said, well, I put my hand on my chest and I said, I'm so sorry, we don't shake hands with the opposite gender, it's a religious thing. And the guy looked at her and said, okay, well then, go ahead and take a seat. She takes a seat, she does the interview, and she goes, Mom, I don't know if I got the job. I said, well, if Allah wants to give you the job, alhamdulillah, you got it. But if Allah doesn't think this job is good enough for you, then don't worry about it. There's another opportunity waiting for you. She gets a call the week after and says, you got the job, come in. And everyone at the place has to wear uniforms, like white shirts, t-shirts with certain color pants stuff. Ollie walks in with her abayas and her hijabs. She walks in with little name tags. Like, yeah, I'm the only woman who can do this. But where does Izzah come from? Izzah comes from Allah. Respect and honor comes from Allah. The moment you respect and honor Allah and you put Allah above everyone else, then Allah will give you that respect and honor. And that's where confidence comes in. So she's like, now it's been 6 months, I passed 3 tests. She literally messaged her boss the other day, I'd like to talk about my pay raise, please. Oh yeah, she was not even kidding. She's like, yeah, I'm ready for a pay raise. I mean, I deserve this. I've been working very hard, it's been 6 months. And I'm like, yeah, that's confidence, Rasha. Let me answer her, then I'll come back to you. Go ahead. So give us an example of what your 5-year-old says.
Mom, didn't I tell you, you know, you should have to do it like this, or why didn't you do it like that? And I'm sure a lot of parents here can relate to that. And how can we get over that? And how do we respond to that respectfully?
Yes.
Set a boundary so it doesn't happen again. Absolutely.
You have to give them, number one, consequences. They have to have consequences for the behaviors that they give that are not appropriate. Number two, you have to stop everything you're doing, sit down right there with your son and say, I don't like that tone of voice. I don't like what you said to me. I'd like to be able to talk to you and you talk to me, but we don't need to yell. We don't need to be disrespectful. Tell me what your issue really is. And sit down and for him to understand. And if you behave this way again, this is your consequence. You have to give consequences for behavior. When we speed, what happens? Get a ticket in the mail. Like, hey, I didn't even know I was speeding. Where did this come from? Right? It depends on the age of the child. Very good question. Depends on the age of it. So we're talking about a 5-year-old, right? What does he love to do? What are some of the fun things he loves to do? Take it away from him.
Doesn't matter what it is.
So my nephew, he's, you know, a little iPad baby. Yeah, he loves his iPad. My kids don't know how they don't have iPads. But my nephew loves it. So when he comes to my house and he's with me and he does something, I'm like, yeah, you know what just happened? That iPad's on timeout. He's not on timeout, the iPad is. So it's like his, you know, lifeline is gone. And he's like, how long? How long are you taking my iPad for? And I said, 5 hours. It's like he has a heart attack. He's like, somebody give me water. It affects him tremendously. And then I sit down and I talk and I say, you know what we're going to do now that you have no iPad? We're going to read. Oh my God, it's like I am just keep poisoning this kid with more. I'm just like putting gasoline on his wound. And but he learns very quickly not to behave like that again. Because he saw the consequence, he saw the effect, and he didn't like it. And he's like, when his mom says he's coming to my house, he's like, going to her house? She takes my iPad away. That's what he remembers. And she's like, well, maybe you should behave. So you have to give them consequences that they understand. See, with my 18-year-old, it's different. You know, with my 18-year-old, when she got a job, mom shut the bottom of the line, you know. And I'm going to share some of this. You know, I know she's not going to be too happy about this, but I'm going to share it with some of our in case you watch this video when it comes out. One of the things that she did was she would come home from work and stuff and she would just like say her dua and then, you know, come in and I would never hear her say salam. And I'd be like, oh yeah, what happened to salam? As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, wa alaykum as-salamu alaykum. What happened to the greeting that we have? And she's like, oh yeah, yeah. And then she did this twice. And by the fourth time, I was like, I'm done. Quit your job, give me your phone, give me your keys. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't stay home for all these years to, you didn't know how to say salam? Are you kidding me? Oh, that changed very quickly. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's everybody doing? Everyone's good, alhamdulillah. I'm leaving, well, as-salamu alaykum everybody. It's like, oh, look, mashallah. Consequences are different per age group. You see?
You knew that you were going to follow through with it.
Oh, totally. I was ready to follow through with all of it. You have to follow through. That is very important, you have to follow through. If I tell them I'm not going to take them somewhere, I don't take them. No matter how much they cry and beg and whine, you know how the kids get. Eventually they think they can win. I'll cry and beg and whine with them too. I didn't like your behavior. You know what you did to me. I'll do the same thing. No, because when they do that so much, I sit down and do it to them and I say, do you like this? And they're like, no. I said, well, I don't like it either. What you did to me was wrong. And how about if I did this all day to you? And they're like, yeah, I don't like that. I'm like, then stop it, because you're not going to do it. You know, there's times where I have them stay with their dad. There's times where I have them stay with my sister or whatever, you know. But I will give them consequences so that they can learn. And if they don't like how that feels, inshallah, they won't do it again. Sometimes it takes 2-3 times. It's not the first time. Depending on how big the consequences and how old they are, whether they get it or not, you know, and how intelligent. Yes.
How can you make children love homeschooling?
SubhanAllah, that's a very good question. By making homeschooling really fun. Homeschooling should be fun. Like for me, we travel a lot. My kids have seen maybe 35 to 40 of the 50 states in the United States. They've been to Canada, they've been to Sudan, they've done the United Kingdom several times, they've been to Germany, they've done. They get to see the world. And they can only do this with homeschooling because we get up when we want to, we leave when we want to, you know? We have our own schedule. They get to like be ahead of the game in education, so when they graduate high school at 13 years old, and everyone's like they didn't believe my son, you know, when he was at the muster, he was like, yeah, I'm at the university. They're like, oh, I don't believe you. So as soon as we go to the university, the next thing he gets his ID, he's like, yeah, you didn't believe me? And there's my ID. Yeah, that's university ID. Like, so getting them to believe in, you know, having like something more. So homeschooling should be above and beyond what public school is. If it's gonna be the same thing and you're not gonna give them extra cool things to do and learn, you know, memorizing the Quran and writing, whatever, but they get to experience a different way of learning. It's not just books, you know? And that, like, we go on field trips in the middle of the day, like, I'm like, all right, we're done with Quran, let's go, who wants to go to the museum? You know, they're like, yeah! So it's really, for me, it's about, okay, what are we gonna do in this museum today? What are they gonna learn and all that? But for them, it's like fun stuff. Does that make sense? So making learning fun. Learning has to be massively fun. If learning gets boring, kids will never continue to go to school. They will stop at, you know, a level. Whereas if you make learning, like in my house, it's not about grades, it's a love of learning. So when they get less than an 80, which is a B, I don't know, how do your grade systems go here? You guys have numbers or letters? Both? Okay, so if they get less than a B, 80%, they have to do it over. Yeah, it doesn't sit very well with me. Like, that means you haven't mastered it. That means you're going to suffer later. So do it again. You're like, oh, you're so mean. I'm like, alhamdulillah. That's okay, you'll get over it. But that's the thing, is you kind of have to make it fun. Read fun books, read stories. I mean, every day I sit with my 7-year-old and we're reading stories of the Ayat of Sahabah. That's one book. And then we have I Love Islam as a separate book, which is the messengers of Allah. We have different things that we, and then we role play, you know? And so she has to tell me stuff. And so all of this, and then the last 10 nights in the masjid, Asya thinks that she became like a sheikha, and she's like, oh, who wants to hear about, you know, Adam alayhi salam's story? Yeah, you guys don't know, come here. And she sits there and makes her own little halakha and starts teaching. So when you make learning fun, then subhanAllah, they're gonna want to get involved in teaching and learning and keep growing with that, you know? But that's important, yeah. Yes?
How do you manage to do
how can I do one more time? 15.
How did you manage to do the primary school and high school in those few years?
In the high school?
Yeah. How
and
did you manage to put it in?
They do 2 grades a year with me, right? So they do 2 grades a year. So they'll do, like, for example, kindergarten and first grade, second grade, third grade. Like, right now, Asya's 7. She's almost done with 4th grade. She's starting 5th in about a month, inshallah. So this year's 5th and 6th grade, you know? And then just keep going 2 grades a year. They have to actually go through every grade. They have to go through math, science, reading, writing, spelling, which is a hard game for them at this age. But kind of go through 2 grades a year like that. And when you homeschool, you have access to your time. So instead of having 30 kids in that class and you're doing spelling, right? And usually sometimes they'll learn 10 vocabulary words a week. With me, it's 20 words a day. She learns 20 words in about 30 minutes. She does all her exercise and activities, and then it's the next thing. So it's a little bit different in the style, but it's about, then when she's writing, obviously I can test all that to see how she remembers how, you know, to spell certain words, how she puts them into writing and all that. You test them to make sure they, you know, have it together.
Also, how do you make up for the social aspect of the organic one school?
Beautiful. How do you make up for the social aspect? This is the biggest myth they have, that they say kids who are homeschooled are not socialized. Biggest myth. Kids who are homeschooled are more socialized and they are more confident and they have more self-esteem. Like, mashallah, I just told you guys, my 13-year-old and 15-year-old are university, right? What happens when you usually go to school, you're kind of afraid to talk, you're kind of afraid to ask a question, you can, in regular class. At university, I'm like, ask your questions, do you know what you do? What do you do? What do you do? Do you know? Like, and so, mashallah, when Abu Bakr started at 13, he would go in and I teach them to sit in the front, find this most intelligent people, they become your best friends. Yeah, yeah. I teach them all this ahead of time. I teach them to meet the teacher, go introduce yourself, get to know your teacher really well, go to office hours. Oh yeah, you have to know the game, right? And this, when you have questions and your teacher knows you, he's going to be more apt to stay a couple more minutes and teach you. So, and then, if that's not enough, you go to lab hours, you do whatever you can, you're not afraid. And so, it's that confidence that they've already got, that alhamdulillah, I know what I'm doing, I got this. And so when Abu Bakr was in, he started his first year in lab, there's something he would go and ask everyone until he could find someone that knew the answer and helped him. Oh, you don't know? Okay, next. How about you? You know how to do this? You don't know either? Okay, thank you. Let me go to the third person. He wasn't embarrassed, he wasn't ashamed, he wasn't like, oh my God, what are they gonna think of me? Oh my God, I should, you know? He was like, no. When it's a lot of time, mashallah, and this comes from being at home and being confident and not missing yourself. When it's a lot of time, he would get up in the middle of class, go put his prayer rug and pray. One time this guy asked him, what do you do in the middle of the class? You get your backpack and all your stuff and you leave, and then 5 minutes later you come back. He goes, I go and I pray. And the guy goes, pray for me. He goes, well, you have to pray for yourself. You want to learn how to pray? I can teach you. So that point is that confidence, and this comes from the homeschool. So they're not afraid to talk to people. They'll sit on the planes, everywhere. My son, one time, we had to sit apart from each other on the plane, and he was like 3 rows ahead, and I was like 3 rows behind. We're in the middle seat. And 10 minutes later, he's like, hey, buddy, hey, I got some gum. You want some gum? He introduces himself. And then he notices this guy has a phone. He's like, oh, are you going to watch anything on the plane? Because they have free access to the cartoons, you know? And the guy's like, oh, no. He's like, oh, okay, let me show you how to do it. Within 15 minutes, he's like, Mom, I need a headset. Give him a headset. He's got one in his ear. This guy who's sitting next to him with a phone, who's watching cartoons now, he's got it in his ear. And they're like, yeah, this plane ride is going to be fun. Now, can an average person do this kind of stuff? They're not afraid or embarrassed or scared. Like, we go to the university, my 7-year-old, after she does her homework, she goes finds friends. And she goes, hey, I'm the best tic-tac-toe person. Want to play tic-tac-toe with me? How about hangman? You want to play hangman with me? And when that person leaves, she'll find another person. And I'm just sitting there in the corner going, I'm going to read my book while she does this. And that's from it. They're socialized. They know it. But beyond that, obviously, they're in Taekwondo. They get activities anyways. You know, they play with that kids in the neighborhood and stuff. They're not secluded. They're not like sheltered. You let them be who they are. You let their personalities come out, but within the realms of Islam, within the boundaries. You know, as soon as the boys start cursing or something, my kids will leave that place and say, I don't want to pray anymore. They'll go inside. So you teach them how to get away from things and when to be in them. Does that make sense? Yes.
How do you deal with differences in age groups? One, you know, it's 2011, and then you've got a baby that's one.
Yes, yes, yes. I know that very well. Because when I think Omar was 7 or 8 when I had Asya. So it's like, here I'm homeschooling these ones, and then here I have to nurse. It's very difficult to add. You know, you just have to manage your time. It's all about time for each one of them. You kind of have to know how to manage the time, how to manage your schedule, your food, when you cook. Like, mostly my the meals are cooked on the weekends, and so for dinners, and lunch is the only thing that I'll make fresh daily, whether it's making them small pizzas, or, you know, tuna sandwiches, or eggs, whatever. That's their, and they make their own breakfast, so you can, you know, kind of have to learn how to work all that out. So if I don't waste time on dinners every night, and I can just microwave, that saves me 30, 40 minutes every night. Besides the fact that you have to make sure your shopping is on top, you know? Everything on the weekend is the only time I clean my entire house. Oh no, during the week, I'm like, alhamdulillah, I'm just gonna ignore this mess over here in the corner that you guys, or if it's like, if it's like, obviously, like, anything that's spilled by the kids, I'm like, all right, oh yeah, wash the dishes and vacuum the floor. Abu Bakr, you got the dining room floor, Omar, you got the living room. You learn to delegate. Yeah, that's a beautiful word, delegate. Teach them how to do this stuff. And then you tell them to do it. But you get the older ones to help out, yeah? Let them be useful, sure. Not lazy. Any other questions? Are you guys ready for the barbecue outside? Your brothers have probably, you know, ate most of the food. Just kidding, brothers, just kidding. They said it's for the sisters, too. All right.
Thank you so much, sisters. And for the ladies, we have barbecue outside. And there's a request for a good gold coin donation as well.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك جزاك الله خير.
Sorry, one more thing. Ladies, please provide your name and phone number because we're going to set up a WhatsApp page only for ladies from Sydney, Madina. So it's in Hawaii.